With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm Ben, and this week we're splitting the show up into four or five different sections. We've got loads of interviews coming up. As you'd expect, coming up in a second or two, we're going to be hearing from the four managers still involved in the FA Trophy. Four big second round matches coming up this weekend. So we're going to be hearing from Stourbridge, from Workington, from Warrington Town and from Marine on this week's show. We're also going to be looking back at all the results from this past weekend in the league with James Hayes. We're also going to be hearing the post-match thoughts of Jimmy Ginnelly at Barwell and from assistant manager at Lancaster City, Dave McCann. And if all that wasn't enough, we've got a fixture preview later with Thomas Fahini, non-league reporter from Yorkshire. And if all that wasn't enough as well, we're going to be hearing from the chairman at Cone FC about their new academy launch and from Paul Moore, the chairman at Market Drayton Town, about their pie, beer and ticket offer for this weekend's match against Carlton Town in Division 1 South. But before all of that, it's now time to look at the FA Trophy, and we're going to start things off in alphabetical order. This weekend, Billericay Town of the Bostick League will be hosting our very own beloved Stourbridge. And joining me now, it's the welcome return of manager at Stourbridge. Please welcome Gary Hackett to the show. So a happy new year to you, Gary, and welcome back to the show. So Billericay Town in the FA Trophy, you're no stranger to these big occasions. I think it was this time last year or thereabouts you were playing Wycombe Wanderers in the FA Cup. What is it about these big occasions that your teams are always up for?
I think the important thing is keeping your nerve on the day. Also very important having good players. And taking each game as it comes, and we've been pretty strong, and we had another decent FA Cup run, fourth qualifying round, and obviously be great now if we could have a run in the trophy.
And obviously, to get to this stage of the trophy, you've had to play some decent names, and obviously Leamington was the result in the last round. A very professional performance, going away from home at the National League North side, and beating them by a goal to nil. That's a cracking result right there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we always had some great battles with Leamington in the Southern League, and there's a bit of rivalry between the two of us, a healthy rivalry at that. Bearing in mind we beat Bradford Park Avenue in the previous round, so we've had to beat two conference clubs to get where we are, and then we had the draw at Billericay away, which is probably a lot more intriguing for their manager stroke owner, who seems to court a lot of publicity.
When it comes to Stourbridge's form going into this, we've got to talk about that Mickleover game, because what did they have? One shot right at the end of the game to get the equaliser.
Yeah, massively frustrating. It was a game that we dominated, that were never in it, and they just threw caution to the wind, and a little bit of a scramble, an error from the goalkeeper, and 95th minute, it's 1-1, and for me it's 2 points thrown away, without doubt, and in some respects, we've done it a few too many times this season, and we're having to claw back some points, and we know now in our last 21 league games we're going to have to put a run together to make those playoffs, but we're capable of doing it.
Do you think you're in the middle of that run now? Because going into that game, you have to remember it's 7 points from a possible nine, and you've scored 10 goals and only conceded that one goal there. So do you feel like you've started that run now towards the end of the season?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I mean, we've got some very tough games coming up. I think in our next three, we play Altrincham, Grantham, and I think Ashton. So three very tough games, but if you're going to be right up there, you're going to have to beat some of the top teams, and that will be our aim. And I do believe we're getting some key players back. The squad's a lot stronger than what it was 4 to 6 weeks ago, and we're looking forward to the running.
And obviously, we've mentioned the potential of Stourbridge over a number of years now. Your chairman's been in the press the last week talking about the need to grow the club off the pitch with ground developments and that kind of thing. You've got a lot of stuff on your plate as a club, and you as yourself, Gary, you've got the FA Trophy, you've got the league, you're also in the Birmingham Senior Cup. I think you've got a game against Wolves, haven't you, coming up over the next couple of days?
Yeah, it's coming up on Monday, ironically.
Yeah, so it's all...
it's a great game for us, and... you know, sometimes you can complain about fixture pile-up and the amount of games that we've got to play, but at the end of the day, if you're successful in cups, that's what you have to cope with. We came very, very close and got beat in a tight final at Spennymoor last year, which, again, you know, they can go either way. But, you know, we wouldn't change it. Our FA Cup runs have been the foundation of the football club, and it would be great to have a good run in the trophy. And, you know, we're going to have to beat a very good team, a very high-profile club in Billericay. But we'll go there with a lot of confidence.
Well, Gary Hackett, manager at Stourbridge, on behalf of everyone at the show, a big good luck this weekend. We hope you win, and I'll speak to you in the third round, no problem at all.
Cheers, Ben. Thank you.
So that's Billericay Town against Stourbridge this weekend. Next up on this week's show, we've got Dover Athletic of the National League against Marine, a very long away this one for the Merseysiders. And joining us now, it's the welcome return of manager at Marine. Please welcome back to the show, Tommy Lawson. So a big happy new year to you, Tommy. First things first, when are you setting off?
We're leaving at 10 o'clock on Friday morning.
Blimey, Tommy. Right.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. Everyone's geared up. Everyone at the club really is geared up to the occasion, you know.
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, what we've got to remember is, though, that Marine, it is not a full-time squad by any stretch of the imagination. There's people having to take time out their working days to make this trip. How difficult is it for a club like Marine to make a journey like this?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, our lads are not professional. They're not full-time. And to take a day off work and lose, like, the revenue or whatever it is, I think it's a greater effort on the players' behalf for the club. And, you know, taking the game away, you know, it's not always possible. You know, I think we've all put a big effort in to sort of take part in this. And it's not easy, but you know, all credit to them, the players, the staff, everyone, they've been great, you know, and we're really looking forward to it.
I was going to say, because it's not normal, and you know, it's actually a special occasion as a result, and therefore you must be all buzzing making this trip down there, and you must be looking forward to that little training session on Friday night.
Yeah, we are, and you know, we you're right, you know, it is a big occasion for us all. You know, I mean, some of the players have never done an overnight, and it's new territory. Even the committee, it's new to them. It was 40 years since Marine had an overnight there, and it's you know, it's something that's new, and what we've got to do is embrace it and enjoy the occasion. The football will follow, you know. I mean, we're on the football side, we're geared up to it. We've done our bit now. We'll talk to the players in depth tomorrow, and we'll go through things, and you know, as I say, we'll take the game in. We're really, really looking forward to the whole thing, really.
Now, Dover obviously are in the National League, and yeah, it's two divisions up and that kind of thing. But you've already managed to beat my beloved FC United very convincingly, I have to say. You've beaten Chorley. Who on earth would want to play Marine at the moment from a higher division?
Well, you're right. And I mean, you know, it's one of them situations where the underdog's got nothing at all to lose. They can go out, enjoy themselves, express themselves, you know, with a view to sort of playing with a smile. And as I say, it's pressure free. We've got a lot of young lads in our squad, and as I said, it's the first time opportunity. They're playing against full time opposition, and like I say, it's a great thing for the fans as well. We're taking an extra coach. If they take us lightly, they take us lightly at their pedal.
And you've had plenty of preparation for this game. You've had a relatively easy festive period. Altrincham, Stourbridge, Warrington, and Ashton. Nothing, no problem there.
No pressure there. only three sides running for the playoffs and the title. Yeah,
it has been a difficult period. But what have you made of it as manager of Marine?
Well, you know, you're right. The festive period was very sort of taxing. We were deprived of quite a few players for one thing or another, and you know, we've got our squad back now, so you know, we are hoping to pick from a position of strength. You know, we've been deprived of some of the players through injury and suspension and whatever. They're all cleared off now. You know, it was a very sort of taxing, you know, Christmas. I thought Altrincham looked like they are what they are. They're champions elect, in my opinion. Warrington and Ashton, you know, we know that they're pushing towards the playoffs, And we caught Stourbridge on a day when they were revitalised, and they played well on the day. Fair play to them. So yeah, it's been very difficult with the players that were unavailable to us. It was difficult. Yeah.
Well, we've already mentioned it in the past about the conga lines at Atherton Colls, and the coaches going down to Dover, and we've already read in the press as well that the ambition to redevelop the Arriva Stadium there in Crosby. The club must be buzzing at the moment, and I interviewed you when you just took over the job. You must be buzzing as well with what's going on at Marine.
Of course, it's we've brought a few bob in, which will help the cause. There are improvements taking place in the summer. They're doing a great job off the pitch. I had a conversation one time with the chairman, and he explained to me that they try to do something positive on the ground every 2 years, which is a great way to look at things, isn't it? You know, it's not just about every year. It's a structure, isn't it? I think that's brilliant.
Well, Tommy Lawson, a big thank you for joining us on this week's show. A big good luck in that trip to Dover. I'll speak to you in the next round, like I've said to you in all previous rounds. And I meant it every time. I will speak to you in the third round. A safe journey down there, and I hope you get over the jet lag, and I'll speak to you in the next round.
Thanks a lot, Ben. Thank you.
Tommy Lawson there, manager at Marine, and a big good luck to Marine in their match against Dover Athletic this weekend in the second round of the FA Trophy. Also in second round action this weekend, we've got Warrington Town. They too will be travelling to National League opposition this Saturday. Ebbsfleet United away for Warrington Town. And joining us now, it's the manager at Warrington Town. A welcome back to the show to Paul Carden. So a happy new year to you, Paul, and welcome back to the show.
Same to you, Ben.
Firstly, big congratulations for that result against Alty. A fabulous result that in the round previous.
Yeah. With the side we had, or with the players we had available, it was a little bit, sort of patched up side, and to perform as well as we did, certainly in the second half, as a credit to those lads, and showed what we can do, what we're capable of.
Now, that game obviously had to go to a replay, so it was adding more fixtures to Warrington Town's busy schedule already. And you have been mixing and matching a lot. I've been reading a bit of things in the press about you having to rotate and that kind of thing. How challenging has the festive period been?
I think the toughest part of it is when, you don't get maximum points. Given players games and changing the team about to keep it fresh isn't a problem, because I believe we've got a good squad, not just a good 11. So it's festive period is what it is. Everyone goes through the same thing. Some clubs end up with games called off. As it goes with the trophy, we've ended up with more games because we've got obviously the League Cup and the Senior Cup, which we're still involved in. So the fixtures are coming thick and fast. But like I said before, previously, to be successful, you've got to play a lot of games, and you've got to play more games than average teams. So, we want to be successful, and that's what comes with it.
And you've had a three-game run at the moment, unbeaten run in the league, and a good win against Buxton. It was a resilient win against Buxton more than anything, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was, they're a tough side to play at any stage of the season, Buxton, and they've had some good results. In the two forwards, they've got Ant Wilson and Hardy. They've got probably one of the most powerful strike forces in the division in terms of, size, pace, power, strength. They've got a lot. And obviously, Hardy knows how to put the ball in the back of the net as well. So, containing them was the main aim, and because I knew we'd always get chances, which we did. We ended up winning by a penalty, but I think if there's anybody going to win it was going to be us.
And that shows that tough to beat streak, and we saw that against Marine as well, where you had 10 men pretty much for the second half, and that's going to be important, isn't it, in these closing months of the season?
Yeah, well, one of the things I said to the lads is, the times when we've lost games this season have been against the more physical sides. When we play against the Altinghams, against teams who like to try and play the Michelovers, we've been, more than a match. But it's been the other side of the game where I'm sort of scratching my head in terms of our defeats, because I'm thinking, we just haven't handled that side of it, that direct play. And, you know, I think we've shown it against Witten, showed it against Marine, and we've shown it against Buxton that we can stand up to that type of game. And you know, that was one of the question marks I had over the lads, and I told them that they've answered, to be honest.
And you've been recruiting as well, Devon Green coming in from Tranmere. How's the squad shaping up for the running and the FA Trophy this weekend?
Devon is a real quality player. I remember him when I coached at Blackburn, and you know, for one reason or another, his career never went the way it should have. You know, he's still only young. He's still only 21. So I seen him play for Stalbridge this season, and he was very good. And then I actually recommended him to Tranmere, and they took him. And so when the opportunity came to sort of get him out on loan and get him some games, it was massive to us, and because I know what a quality acquisition he'll be for us.
And this weekend, then, going into this game against Ebbsfleet, you've mentioned the run of games you had, but you've got to have those run of games, haven't you, if you want to be winning trophies. You've mentioned the Integral League Cup. You've got that on Tuesday against Lancaster. Then you've got those remarkably easy games against Hensford and Alty coming up at the end of the month as well in the league. It's all happening at Warrington. How are you shaping up for this month?
Yeah, we're always keeping your eye out and your ear to the ground to see who's available. You know, we're speaking to a couple of players right now, so you know, we wanna thicken the squad out a little bit, but not just bring players in for the sake of, you know, adding substitutes. We want to bring players in who are going to come into the side and compete in the 11. There's no point in signing subs because you just create the mess. But you know, the game's coming up. We'll be prepared. We'll be ready. You know, we'll do the right things approaching them like we are for Ebbsfleet. And yeah, we'll give ourselves the best chance we can with what we've got.
Well, Paul Carden, manager at Warrington Town, a big happy new year to yourself, everyone at the club, and a big good luck against Ebbsfleet this weekend, and I'll speak to you in the next round. And finally, for our look at the second round of the FA Trophy this weekend, we've got Western Supermare of the National League South against our very own Workington. And again, a very, very long away, this one, for the Cumbrians. But joining us now to discuss this fixture more in depth, we're joined by one of the joint managers at Workington. Please welcome back to the show, Lee Andrews. So, a happy new year to you, Lee, and welcome to the show. Firstly, before we get to this big match this weekend, just a congratulations for the result in the last round. A great occasion, that, against Hartlepool United, and a cracking result.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, obviously the lads performed well. We knew that getting upset, it's a difficult place for a lot of teams to come up to work it, and so we knew that on the type of day that it was a wet, cold day that we knew was a bit of a leveler with the pitch. So it was something that we knew we were capable of, and we're just pleased to get the job done.
And you've been on a hell of a run at the moment. We obviously had John Mackay on last month to talk about, you know, what work's being done at Workington this season. And this season, it feels like you've gone on the run earlier. You normally do this in the second half of the season, but you're right in contention heading into the new year. You must be very pleased with that side of things as well.
Yeah, we said at the start of December that we had a good run of home games coming up, and we said if we could get a decent point return from then games, it would set us up nicely going into the new year to push on and have a good go at promotion. So, yeah, we've had a decent run. As you say, we've started earlier than we normally do, but I think it's helped that we've had a settled squad. We've got mainly the same squad as we had last season, so everything's settled. So the lads know what to expect in this league. They've played enough games now as a team to know what to expect and how to get results, how to grind them out if need be. And that's what they've done over the past few months.
And one of the things that we've been touching upon with Workington this season is, and last season, because it's something that you've been bringing in, is the fact that, you know, the number of local players that Workington are bringing in. Because we've seen with Barrow a few years ago, I think they were one of the highest placed Manchester-based teams in the league. It's very important, isn't it, to have locally-based players?
Yeah, just say our squad's made up of Cumbrian players. Everyone's from within the area. We haven't got the finances to as some of the teams in our league, to go out there and splash the cash and bring players in from elsewhere. So it worked out quite well for us, because although it's hard to attract players to the area, being where we are, and it's also, there's not any other clubs around our level close by. So the players that we've got, we generally keep. So sometimes it can be difficult to attract players, but on the other hand, we get to keep our players as well, which is a pleasing thing.
What were your expectations going into this season? Because like you said, last season, I think we had you on last season, didn't we? And we're talking about the fact that it was meant to be a kind of transitional season, wasn't it? But you still managed to get yourselves in the playoffs. What were you expecting this year?
We don't really set ourselves targets at the start of the season. All we do is we take one game at a time. We've done that for the last two or three seasons now. We know we've got a squad capable of being up there pushing for things. We've got a very good squad, and with the team that we've got in the squad, I keep saying to various people that all the time that I've been involved in football, I've never been in a dressing room like we've got at Workington. The togetherness and the desire to do well for each other, it's fantastic. So although we haven't set any targets, everyone's got the back of their mind that they want promotion, and we're no different to that. But as we just take one game at a time and see where we end up come the end of the season.
And obviously you're in the FA Trophy. Good FA Cup runs are one thing. FA Trophy, there's a real potential, as many NPL sides have proven, to get to Wembley for that big occasion. But like you say, there is a priority as well for promotion. How are you juggling everything? And are you one of these managers that sees the FA Trophy as not a hindrance, but a way of building momentum?
I think it's just continuing the momentum, really. We take every game as it comes, and we don't look too far ahead. We just think if we start looking at games ahead, a bit of complacency might set in. So we just take every game as it comes, whether it be a cup game or a league game, and we just try to do our best in that game. So sometimes it can be a welcome distraction, being away from league action, but to be honest, we don't really take much notice of what the competition's in. We just try to get as many positive results as we can, whatever competition it is.
And finally, we've covered the distance being travelled by all four of NPL sides in FA Trophy action this weekend. What time are you setting off for Weston Supermare, and what are you expecting from them?
We set off at 3 o'clock on Friday. But to be honest, for us, it's nothing special, really, a long journey. We're used to that week in, week out with our away games. All of our games seem to be a trek, so that won't be taken into consideration, the travelling, but we expect them to be, obviously they're playing from a higher level than us, so they'll be a decent team at home. So we'll look to restrict them to start with, and then we'll play our own game and see how we get on against them, and then look for that positive result and a bit of a cup upset again.
Well, Lee Andrews, joint manager at Workington, a big good luck to yourself, Dave, and everyone at the club, and a big happy new year, and I'll speak to you in the next round, no problem at all. So a big good luck to all our sides in FA Trophy action this weekend. It's a big weekend, and we wish everyone all the best of luck getting through to the third round. And when everyone is through, safely through to the third round, we'll get all those managers back on once again. So coming up later on, we're going to be hearing from Lancaster City and Barwell. And we've also got a fixture preview later as well with a non-league journalist from the other side of the Pennines, Thomas Fahina. And I should say, shortly, we're also going to be hearing from Cone FC from Division 1 North about their new academy that they're launching next season, and from Market Drayton Town about their pie and drink offer for this weekend's big match against Carlton. Scrum diddly umptious, I think is the right word to use there. But anyway, speaking of scrummy, we're now joined by the welcome return of James Hayes from the league. Hello, James, how are you?
How you doing, Ben? Is that a quote to what I was going to be doing later on tonight as well? Or
I beg your
what
pardon?
I was doing Wednesday night when
what are you
scrummy
talking
about me going.
Oh, sorry, yes. No, not about the Law Cup. It is the Law Cup, isn't it, between Rochdale and Oldham in rugby league. No, not about that one. Pies will be the winner this evening at that rugby league match, of course. It's the Pie Derby, I think they also call it. Oldham against Rochdale. Anyway, James, enough about the wrong shaped ball game. It's now time for the circular version. Just before we move on to the league, just your predictions for this weekend's matches in the second round of the FA Trophy. It's just unfortunate they're all away from home, because if there were home ties, I would say there was good odds.
There would have been good odds, but all four ties are incredibly difficult, in my opinion. You got Billy Ricky, who are flying in the in our equivalent in the Isthmian League at this moment in time, aka the Bostic League.
Bostic. Come on, remember the sponsors.
Yeah,
that's Bostic.
Bostic League, aka the Isthmian League as well. All four teams are in the top tens of their division at this moment in time. If we can even get one or two of them through, it would be a fantastic achievement for all of them there. But good luck to all of you. The league are backing on you, and just do the league proud.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the league then, James. And, well, it's been a fascinating weekend of results. And we'll start up at the top end. And Altrincham now currently lead the league by 8 points. They've done that by, it's a great win, this, a 1-0 away win at Farnsley Celtic. And we were talking last week when we had our fixture preview with Matt Carruthers about the conditions in Leeds over the weekend. It was never going to be an easy game, that one. And, it proved it in the final result.
Ulsterman there just starting to build themselves up for the rest of the season, putting the pressure on Shaw Lane and a chasing pack. Now I feel that pressure is now there.
And Grantham Town are still in pursuit. Another fabulous win, a 3-1 away win at the Grove against Haleshow in Town. And that does keep the pressure on Altrincham, keeps them honest. And they're currently 8 points behind, but they play the same number of games. So that's the target now for Grantham.
He's getting two wins on the bounce in the last couple of weeks. The next couple of games for Grantham are relatively a bit easier than some of the other counterparts between them. So it's just a good opportunity now, again, just to keep the pressure up at Altrincham and stay in that chasing pack.
So Grantham Town, they're in second position. In third position, we've got Warrington. Warrington, another good result, a 1-0 win against Buxton. A tricky, tricky match, that, for Warrington, and they've navigated it safely. They're currently 9 points behind Altrincham, but they do have a game in hand.
That's a huge blow, that, for Buxton against a playoff rival. It's still got time left, understandably, but that's a big, big blow for them. As for Warrington, going back to what they were doing in November, grinding results are when they need them. They had 1-0, 2-0s.
Workington currently sitting in fourth position. Their big game against Shaw Lane at the weekend didn't happen, unfortunately. So everyone above Workington have clawed a game back, obviously. Workington have got, they've played a game more than Altrincham and Grantham, and they're 10 points off league leaders Altrincham. And speaking of games in hand, Shaw Lane now, they've got, it's borderline starting to look like a bit of a mini crisis of fixtures now, because they've got 4 games in hand over Altrincham, over Grantham Town, 3 games in hand over Warrington, and 5 games in hand over Workington. And they're currently sitting 11 points behind league leaders Altrincham, as I said, with 4 games in hand. So, it's the eternal question, points on the board, games in the bag. I'm pretty sure at the moment they'd rather have the points on the board, wouldn't they, Shaw Lane?
They'd rather have the points on the board at this moment in time, definitely. But looking at what's coming up, this is their opportunity to claw back with them making the games count now. Because again, in a few weeks' time, if they're only 2 points behind come 13th of February, that's going to be the first of the title deciders, I feel.
Right. Ashton United, they're currently one place outside the playoffs, only on goal difference, we should say. They played 2 games more than Shaw Lane, but they have got 3 games in hand over Workington, but 1 point behind Workington, and as I said, 3 games in hand. So Ashton United certainly got a bit of momentum behind them at the moment. We heard from Jody Banham last week, and that didn't alter the course of Ashton United at the moment. Ashton United 3, Marine 0. A fantastic result, that, for Ashton United, and they keep on motoring, don't they?
They're doing what they need to do. The more pressure they put on the likes of Workington, Warrington, the more it's going to pay off later in the season.
That's 9 games unbeaten, we should say, as well, for the for Jody Banham's side. Hensford Town, they put themselves well and truly in the playoff race in recent weeks, and they have played a fair number of games more than everyone else. They're 1 point behind Shaw Lane. They have played 6 games more than Shaw Lane, but again, it's points on the board, isn't it? But Hensford Town, they beat Nantwich Town away from home by 5-1 on Saturday. And all the goals for Hensford coming in the second half. So coming from 1-0 down in that game to win 5-1. Fantastic result for Hensford. And like Ashton, they're getting the results at this stage of the season.
Fantastic result there for a 5-1 Nantwich Town, which I think, as I said last week, is probably going to rule Nantwich out of the playoff race now.
So Farnsley Celtic, they're currently in 8th position following that 1-0 defeat at home to Altrincham at the weekend. They're 2 points from the playoffs now. They have played 5 games more than Shaw Lane, but played the same number of games as Workington, and they've got a game in hand over Hensford Town, so still lots to play for Farnsley Celtic. Witton Albion, there in 9th, their game against Stalybridge Celtic was postponed at the weekend due to excess rainfall, or was it snowflakes, or was it wind? It was just horrible, wasn't it?
It was. I think it was a bit of everything in Stalybridge.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah. So that's Witton Albion. In 10th position, we've got Stourbridge, and obviously we heard from Gary Hackett earlier. 1-1 draw against Michalovce Sports. To be fair, that's 7 points from a possible 9 for Stourbridge in the last 3 games. So, and we should say they've scored 10 goals in those 3 games as well, and only conceded 1. So
it's a part of it, what's happening with Stellenbosch this season, because of the way it's turned out. They've had another trophy run. Not as much pressure on in the league, I feel, this year. Okay, if we went to Mikulova, and we know what Mikulova can be like week in, week out. They don't make it easy for any team in this division at all. Might have had one eye on the FA Trophy this weekend, you never know, but still, we need to see what they can do second half of the season. It's starting to slip away a little bit now. They've still got the games in hand for the moment.
So Stourbridge are 7 points behind Workington, who are currently sitting fourth. I'm excluding Shore Lane because they've got so many games in hand. Stourbridge, yeah. 7 points behind Workington with two games in hand. Buxton are in 11th. Lancaster City, they're in 12th position. And last week I asked the question, can you draw a line under Buxton in 11th and say, above this line, that's the playoff race? And you said, I think Lancaster City would have something to say about that. Lancaster City did have something to say about that at the weekend. Whitby Town 0, Lancaster City 5. So for more on Lancaster City now, we're now joined by the assistant manager. Please welcome to the show, Dave McCann. Hello, Dave. Happy New Year to you.
Cheers. Thank you, Ben. Happy New Year to you all.
That's a fantastic result that against Whitby Town. You and Phil must be dead chuffed with that one.
Yeah, of course we are. You know, if you go away from home and you keep a clean sheet and you score 5 goals, it's generally a good day. So, yeah, we're more than happy with the result. You know, we needed it based on the previous two results that we had, but it was a good performance that went along with it as well. So, yeah, we were very happy to come back.
I mean, one of the things we've been talking about on this week's show and in the last couple of weeks as well is just how hectic the festive period had been on the clubs. As you said, it must have been a bit of a release more than anything as well. Has that kind of performance been coming over the last few weeks?
We started the Christmas period well. You know, we had a decent win at Mikulova, then picked up a point at home on Boxing Day to Workington, who were in a really good run at that moment in time. But then it went a bit sour. You know, we got beat at home to Hensford and we got beat away at Stalybridge on New Year's Day. So it wasn't really on the wall with regards to that performance coming or result coming. But, you know, deep down, we probably didn't do ourselves justice in the previous two games.
Just to say as well, I mean, we spoke to Phil in the past about, you know, how well all four promotees have done this season. Lancaster, it feels like, have been 11 for 12 for thereabouts now for ages. And one of the things that's been key with Lancaster is the fact they've had so many games in hand. Where do you see Lancaster at the moment? It's only 8 points up the road to the player positions. Is that still an expectation and a hope?
I don't know if it's an expectation. It's definitely something that we, you know, might be aiming for without really talking about it a lot. You know, I think deep down we feel like we've got the ability to maybe challenge for a playoff place. You know, when I look at the league table, we are a few games behind on others around us, and probably if you produce a table based on games played and results so far, we'd probably be in a better position. So, you know, those playoff places, like I say, even though we haven't really discussed them a lot, they are certainly within our reach, and you know, we'll be doing our best to maybe challenge for them.
And obviously, football's not played on paper, but for a journalist, it is. So I'm going to ask you this question. this weekend, obviously, you've got Barwell. We'll come to the Dudeson in a second, and then you've got two games against Nantwich and a game against Hales Owen at the end of the month. Now, from a journalistic point of view, what's the word I'm looking for? You answer the question, Dave. You know what I'm going to say.
I don't know what you're going to say. It's games that we should be targeting to win all of those games. Obviously, we will be doing that, but, you know, football isn't like that. It's a tough division that we've come into. You know, we've competed well against teams that are currently up there. And then we've also, you know, had poor results against maybe teams that are below us at this moment in time. So we are more than aware that anyone can beat anyone on. You know, we'll just take every game as it comes and we'll look to win every single game, but at no point do we really look at the league table and think, you know, we should be beating them or that's a kind fixture for us. You know, we do our best to win those games.
And you're obviously not standing still as well, and you've made a loan signing from Fleetwood Town. Mamadou Diaby.
I think that's how you pronounce it. He's played one game for us. He trained last Thursday with us before the game at Whitby.
you know, fitted in really well. After got amongst the lads, you know, his first session, and he was well liked. And obviously, he played on Saturday, got himself a goal, performed really, really well. I just hope he continues to train and perform.
And just before you go, Dave, just a quick mention as well for the Integro League Cup. Tough game against Warrington on Tuesday, but it's kind of like a question I've asked all the managers in the FA Trophy this week as well. It's a sense of momentum that all the managers are looking to build, and therefore the Integro League Cup is part of that.
Yeah, of course it is, definitely. You know, we're not in a position really where we can change a team dramatically or rest players and bring the other players in. So we'll be putting out a team that will, you know, be looking to win that game. And like you say, you know, it develops momentum for the club and the team. So we want to win as many games as possible. And if that means winning a cup game, you know, it means winning a cup game, because before you know it, you could be in the latter stages of the competition and you've got something really to play for. So, we're looking forward to it, and we'll go there on Tuesday, knowing it's going to be a tough game, but we'll be doing our best to win it.
Well, momentum's key, and like I said, the final last year was between Bamber Bridge and Grantham, and both teams have had a great season since, so it all helps. Well, Dave McCann, assistant manager at Lancaster City, a big thank you for coming on the show. Happy New Year to yourself, Phil, and everyone at the club, and you keep up the good work. So Lancaster City, they're in 12th position, 8 points behind Shaw Lane. They've played 3 games more than Shaw Lane, but they've played 2 games less than Workington. So there you go. Micklover Sports, they're in 13th position on the same number of points as Lancaster City, but they've played a remarkable 30 games this season so far, which is 8 more than Shaw Lane have, who are 8 points ahead of them in the playoff positions. Then we've got Colville. Colville, a good win this against Sutton Coldfield Town. 4-2 winners there at home to Sutton Coldfield Town. And all the goals coming in the first half for Colville. Job done by half-time, it feels like. And for Sutton Coldfield, that leaves them 3 points adrift of Stalybridge. Stalybridge's game, obviously, was postponed due to the weather. But Stalybridge Celtic now have a thumping 6 games in hand. And Sutton Coldfield are also 7 points behind Halesowe in town, having played a game more. So it's as you were, pretty much, for Sutton Coldfield, except they played an extra game more than Stalybridge have, and they already had a load of games in hand.
Yeah, but again, the games in hand are all away from home, where they've not got a great record at all, with only, again, 1 point all season away from our fold. It depends what Stalybridge can do with them 6 games in hand.
And there's just one last result that we should need to mention, and that featured a mid-table ding-dong between Matlock Town and Barwell. And Barwell came out winners by 2-0. It seems like a good opportunity to hear a bit more from Barwell now. And after that win against Matlock Town, Jimmy Ginelli, manager at Barwell, he caught up with Luke Pawley.
Jimmy, a 2-0 win here today over Matlock Town. You must be delighted with the way you've bounced back today.
Yeah, absolutely delighted. Very, very threadbare. Very short on bodies, but I think the lads have listened. I think the lads have done the simple bits today. We've gone for a strange system, 4-3-3, away from home. I don't think people expected that, and I thought we'd come out of the blocks very well.
That 4-3-3 system that's worked today, is it something you're going to stick with, or you're going to rotate your shape?
No, basically it's just what personnel you've got available in it, and you're driving up, you do a lot of scribbling down, and then again, it's basically down to personnel. We're a small football club in a big league. We're always going to be short on numbers, short today. But I pat the lads on the back. I thought they worked the socks off.
Talking about personnel there, you told us about bringing people in. Obviously, I'm not going to ask you for names, but you made any progress over the last week?
Yeah, there's a new lad coming in to train Tuesday and Thursday this week. There's a young lad came in Thursday to train. But they are young lads. They're not the main targets that I'm after.
Mitchell Piggin came in for a start today and scored a goal. How pleased were you with him?
Very pleased. Mitch's sort of like been around the local area for a long time. Played for Bedworth, helped them get promoted. He's they're playing at Cov United at the minute in a club with a lot of money. He's been at rugby. He's been around Mitch has, but I think he's learnt today. The huffing and puffing and the strength of trying to have 90 minutes in the Northern Premier. I think he admitted straight away at half time it's tough, so he's got to now learn very quickly and go and get himself fit, I'm sure he's got a massive part to play for me.
I've got Lancaster coming up next week, another away game, hoping to continue your fine away form up there.
Yeah, Lancaster's going to be tough. We've never been there. I don't think anybody from the club's been there. So it's going to be journey into the unknown. And again, our away form's a lot better than the home record. I don't know why. But if we play like that, we've got a couple of bodies back, haven't we? We've got Nigel, we've got Bawley, we've got Foster. You know, we could go a bit deeper. We've got somebody else. Deck missing there today. So, yeah, we've got a few bodies back, so hopefully a bit more strength in depth.
Cheers, Jimmy. Well done today.
Cheers, Luke.
Jimmy Ginnelly there speaking with Barwell's Luke Pawley following that win against Matlock Town at the weekend. Sees Barwell comfortably in mid-table, 15th position. Matlock Town currently sitting in 16th position. And Glenn Kirkwood has admitted to Pitcherio in the last 5 days that the club, Matlock, is underachieving. I think we got a sense of that, didn't we, when we caught up with Craig Hopkins, that, you know, they want to see progression year on year. It's just been a tough division this season for a lot of sides in that mid-table pack. And Matlock are no different. We'll hear more about what next for Matlock, for Barwell and everyone else in the division when we speak to Thomas Fahina later on in the show. But James, that's it for you on this week's edition of the MPL show. Big thank you for joining us on this week's show, and we'll speak to you next week. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. No, it's come on, Ruffy.
And a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. And I can exclusively reveal, recording this bit of the show on Thursday, that Oldham did indeed beat Rochdale in the Law Cup. So congratulations to Oldham. And congratulations to James. He must be very, very happy. Coming up very, very shortly, we're going to be hearing from Thomas Fahina, non-league journalist from the other side of the Pennines, to talk about this weekend's fixtures in the Premier Division. But before that, we're going to draw our eyes to Division 1. In about 5 minutes, we're going to be hearing from Paul Moore, chairman at Market Drayton Town, about their fabulous match offer this weekend in their game against Carlton Town. But before that, we're going to kick things off with Division 1 North and Cone FC. Cone FC, in the past couple of days, have announced that next season they'll be launching their new football and education academy. And joining me now to discuss this more in depth, we're now joined by the chairman at Cone FC. Please welcome to the show, Ryan Paul Haig. So a happy new year to you, Ryan, and thanks for coming on the show. Firstly, a big congratulations for this initiative. This is fabulous stuff. What's the thinking behind launching an academy at this stage of the club's development?
I think it's more what we've said from day one. Cone FC, it needs to be in the community and for the community, and people in the Cone area, for me and the studies we've done, don't really progress into higher education for one reason or another. Now we've sort of gone about it a different way. We're looking for people that can do higher education, but in a roundabout way, really. You know, people that are looking to be passionate about the football, that want to be involved with not just the playing side of it, but people who want to pursue a career in sport, but at the same time make sure they're continuing with the maths qualifications, the English qualifications. So it's really just to give them something extra, something that's not probably available at your mainstream colleges.
And like you say, it is giving something back as well to that East Lancashire community there as well. And you've already, with Steve Cunningham, already seen under-16s, under-17s, under-18s making that progression into the first team. This is certainly going to add to that conveyor belt as well, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I think, it's probably getting quite obvious now what our remit is at the football club. We've had a full overhaul of what our playing staff is. You know, with Paul Gray coming in, Danny Bolton coming in, working alongside Steve Cunningham. We have gone young. You know, we've gone young for players with potential that can progress within the football club, that we can get them playing a certain way, we can educate them a certain way. But also, you know, like you say, the academy side of it is, can we pick up another one or two players that have thrown under the radar a little bit and drag them through the education side, but also do they have the chance to play for Cone Football Club, which would be great.
And this is the other thing as well. I mean, we've spoke to Workington a couple of times, and the last couple of seasons they've gone really big on finding local players in that Cumbria area. And obviously East Lancashire isn't as isolated as Cumbria is, but there is a hotbed there of players who might not have been tapped into in the past, and you know, by tapping into them, you're also adding something to the community, and that will add into success on the pitch, yeah, as well as gate receipts as well.
Yeah, Well, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? You know, I think you're right. I think this area of the country and Lancashire, I think there is a lot of talent here. You know, you've got a number of pro football clubs around as well, and you know, 99% of these kids are released from these clubs anyway. But the amount of talent that either drops out of the game or hasn't got through to the academies in this area, you know, it is immense. And you know, nearly every player we've got signed on now is local. You know, we're talking like 10-15 mile radius of the football club, and they're the players that we've got signed on. So we're quite excited about the future, really.
So there's three trial dates coming up: Tuesday the 13th of February, Tuesday the 4th of April, and a final trial date will take place on the week commencing the 23rd of April. For more information, Damien Crosley on damien@ps-coaching.co.uk. And if you want to hear that email address again, just rewind the podcast back about 20 seconds. Just before we go, Ryan, we've mentioned off the pitch and that development there, but we've not mentioned the football. A big congratulations for that result against Prescott Cables at the weekend. I think on the MPL group, that got voted result of the weekend.
Yeah, is it tongue-in-cheek to say it weren't a surprise? I don't know. we don't. It was one of them that we looked at, and could we get a point there? You know, we've been happy with a point. To come away with three against probably the fourth side in the league, the league leaders at the time when we played them, you know, we're more than delighted. But I think it goes to show that there is a bit of potential. You know, we are hoping to get a bit of momentum running. It's what can we achieve this year and build us up for next year, really.
And looking forward to that Lancashire derby against Ramy this weekend.
They're always exciting. I think we let us sell down in the last derby on Boxing Day. We didn't turn up. But we're always looking forward to Ramsbottom. It's going to be a great game, probably a fiery game, but I think a lot of the players have played for one of the other clubs at this, you know, a number of times in their career, so there is a lot of jumping us about. But yeah, it's one of them that we want to get 3 points.
Well, Ryan Paul Haig, chairman at Cone FC, a big congratulations for everything that's being done at Cone FC. Keep up the good work and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
And as we said there, for more information on Cone Football Club's upcoming football and education academy launch, and for more information about joining the trials, the free trials that are taking place in February and April, get in touch with Damien Crosley at damien@ps-coaching.co.uk. Very shortly, we'll be catching up with the Premier Division fixtures for this weekend with non-league journalist Thomas Feeney. But before that, from Division 1 North to Division 1 South. And this weekend, Market Drayton Town. This weekend, we'll be offering a pie, a pint and admission for their crucial match against Carlton Town, all for £10. Bargain stuff. And joining me now to discuss Market Drayton Town's match this weekend and that superb promotion offer, we're now joined by chairman at Market Drayton Town. It's Paul Moore. So happy new year to you, Paul, and welcome back to the show. You've not been on as a chairman before. Many listeners might know you as a former manager of teams like Northwich Vicks and Colwyn Bay and the like. Chairman now at Market Drayton Town.
Yeah, it's a bit of a change indeed.
You've come in at a time as well where, obviously, with the festive period, it's a busy time for any football club. And yeah, there's been all kinds of changes taking place at Market Drayton Town, and that's just kind of added to the flavour of a very busy period. How have you settled in at the club?
Well, I mean, first of all, yeah, it's a bit of a leap from being in the dugout to now being sort of in the boardroom environment. It was obviously when I went in there, the situation was a little bit grim. Mick Murphy and Rod Pope have done a fantastic job, along with one or two other people that were remaining at the club. Bearing in mind that a lot of the players left, if not all of the players left, barring one or two, and on the weekend that it was all, the meetings took place for not only to, you know, get Martin Davies back into the club, if you like, on the management front. And then obviously install myself as the chairman. Mick Murphy took the team to Stamford and got walloped 4-0. And to be fair, you know, we took the reserve team lads by one or two. And the reserve team lads, you know, did a fantastic job for us that day. So, you know, it's been a bit of a whirlwind over the 4-5 weeks that we've been there. And there's been a lot of things that have had to change. Me coming in really was just on the back of running a business and you know, and understanding the business side of things. So I think that that's what's appealed to me is going into a club and helping them out that way.
And as you've alluded to, you brought back in Martin Davis, and obviously yeah. a bit of a club legend there, Market Drayton Town. And over the last couple of results, it's been very positive on the pitch.
Yeah, well, when obviously we got past the Stamford game, we knew in a great discussion, and it wasn't just decided by the board, it was decided by, you know, some supporters as well in a very open and frank meeting at the club, which was publicised anyway. Martin, you know, had a good side. He built a good squad previous to in his first stint as manager. And it was a no-brainer, really. He'd not really done anything wrong at that time to have lost his job. So, you know, for us to bring Martin back in and start afresh and put some real sort of like markers in place, we just wanted to get past the Christmas and New Year period. And the first two games that we played, we had Romulus, I think, was the first one at home, which we lost. And then, but to be fair to Martin, he only had about 4 days to get a squad of players together. And then we played Kidsgrove away. Again, you know, got beat, but again, you know, it was a scratch side. And I think New Year's Day, Martin had possibly 11 to 12 players that he felt, these lads can do something for us. And we beat Leek, and then we obviously won again at the weekend. And, you know, there's a buzz about the place. We've come up with some good ideas, some incentives for, you know, the next couple of games, cost-wise on the gate. We've reduced the monies to come in on the gate to a fair price, which I think's, you know, within the realms of the league. And we've just put some things together, you know, race nights and stuff, and it's starting to come good. It's you know, there's a little bit of a buzz, as people like to say, around the club now.
And it's come at the right time as well, because on the Division 1 show, we touched upon the relegation battle of Division 1 South being very, very tight. So those 6 points you've got there have been very, very crucial. And we'll come to the promotion for this weekend's match against Carlton Town. As you've alluded to in your press release, it's an important match because Carlton Town are down there as well with games in hand. And this is a fantastic idea. £10 admission, a pie and a pint as well. £8 for concessions. Obviously, those kids won't have a pint. That's a disclaimer. They're having a different kind of beverage. Why is this important to engage with the local community in this way?
Well, you know, the first thing that, and again, I touched base with Mark Harris, who put a great piece in the non-league paper, the last weekend. One of the things that we discussed was that, you know, at any club, you need to be tapping into the community. And, you know, it's one of the things that I did when I was at Congleton. We had an academy at Congleton, which was just, you know, born of young kids coming through from the age of 8 to 16. And the lads coached them. We've got the Tigers, we've got the reserve team. You know, all these things need to be brought into the football club, and you know, young players need to be brought in so that families come in and see the club and make it more of a family affair. That's really important to be able to cast our net out to the community and say, look, you've got a great club here. Support it. Let's bring local lads through. Let's coach those lads. And over the summer, we've got lots of different things lined up that we're going to be promoting for people to come and enjoy the club.
And it's not just that as well. I mean, our local business has chipped in as well with this, a local bakery, and therefore you're bringing in local businesses into the club as well. And that, it all adds to the flavour of a club going in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's a big mention to Powerthorpe Bakery. They've been supplying the pies to the club for some time before my time, and they've come up trumps again with this weekend and the game that we've got after that, and also our race night, which we've got on the 27th. So, you know, it's the likes of people of that, plus all our other sponsors that, again, we're touching base with. You know, it matters. It really does matter for the survival of the football club, and not just Market Drayton, but in general. And I think you don't, you know, sponsors really, you know, if they're looking to try and get something out of it other than, you know, supporting the local club, it's not the right way to be. However, you know, it's not easy to be putting money into a football club and not expecting anything out of it. And, you know, we're trying to give something back with, you know, the programmes with the sponsorship days and all the stuff that we're looking at as a football club to say, look, we want to roll the red carpet out to these people that are actually supporting the football club.
Well, Paul Moore, chairman at Market Drayton Town. I can't wish more luck than Carlton Town this weekend, you understand, but I can wish you all the best of luck hosting this weekend's match, and I hope you get a big gate and keep up the excellent work.
Brilliant, Ben. Thanks very much for your time.
And a big thank you to Paul Moore, chairman at Market Drayton Town, for joining us on this week's show. But it's now time to go up one division and start talking about the Premier Division. And joining us now to preview all the matches for this weekend, we're now joined by the welcome return of non-league journalist from the other side of the Pennines. We're now joined by the welcome return of Thomas Feeney. Hello, Thomas. How are you?
I'm not too bad, and happy New Year to yourself.
Just before we get going, it's a new thing because I'm acutely aware that I always leave the plugs to the end. But as it's a new year, why don't we get the plugs out of the way first? So you do loads of stuff, Tom, don't you, in non-league world?
Oh, you're too kind. Yeah, well, yeah, here, there, and everywhere, really. But yeah, just to be honest, the best way to follow me just on Twitter at Thomas Feeney. Bore you to death with some non-league talk there.
So, yeah, so it's National League website, Pichero, the non-league paper, Yorkshire Evening Post, loads
Yorkshire
of stuff.
Evening Post.
Yeah, a load of stuff. And Geisley and all. Yeah, it's too long, but yeah, head over to that Twitter feed. But we've got you on for this weekend's fixture preview. We've obviously spoke in great detail this week about the FA Trophy. Four MPL sides vying to get through to the third round of the FA Trophy. And as we said earlier, the fact that they're all away, quite lengthy journeys. The odds are stacked against the four MPL sides, but they are very good MPL sides, and they've already proven this season that they're more than capable of giving a black eye or two to teams higher up the pyramid.
Yeah, they most certainly are, and I think the big thing as well, you know, one or two of these sides that they're facing, I've contacted, or you know, they've sent releases through, and it really is the case that, you know, the MPL is getting a lot of attention at the minute from teams higher up, because you know, you've got teams like Marine going to Dover, you know, really tough matches. And I think, you know, it's fantastic for the MPL teams. And I do think one or two will get through. I've got to be honest, I'm always a bit cynical with this, because I always think if it were a home game, I'd be backing pretty much all of them. But with that away thing, and like you were saying, the journeys involved as well. If it was a, you know, a short drive across the M62 or something, I think they've got a, you know, a better chance. But it's that whole thing, the journey times as well, little things like that. It does have an impact. But you know, fingers crossed for all of them, and hopefully a few more will be going through to the next round.
Absolutely, and we'll be interviewing all four managers in the next round. No worries at all. But anyway, for the Premier Division for this weekend, and some glorious matches taking place this weekend. We'll start off at the top end of the table. Altrincham are grinding out the results, it feels like. And this weekend they'll be travelling to Marston Road to take on Stafford Rangers. But it's a tricky game, this one, for Alti.
It really is. I think the only thing with Altrincham is, you know, Phil Parkinson, when you were at Nantwich, he got this knack of, like you were saying, grinding the results out. And when they lost to Witton Albion on New Year's Day, I just saw it because, you know, it was a, you know, one of those 4-3, a real tough game. And then they had Farsley next, and I thought, you know what, I could have seen them losing to Farsley. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's two losses in a row, and other teams might be looking and thinking, you know what, they might hit a blip here. And what do? They grind a 1-0 win out. And I think that is what this season will come down to, the team that can do that the best. And, you know, Altrincham have, to me, the best squad, probably, you know, certainly one of the best managers in the league as well. And rightly, they are at the top of the table. They had that spell where you thought it could go one or two ways, and it's obviously gone, you know, so well for them, currently top. And to me now, you know, halfway through the season, you're getting to that point where you have to pick a favourite. And to me, Altrincham have to be seen as the favourites now, because really, they are the team that are ready to go straight back up. They've got everything in place. And it's that whole thing of they can win, beat a team 5-0, but it's the amount of 1-0s and those scrappy wins that they get which will be key.
Now, I'm going to do the unusual step now, jumping down to fifth position, because as we've discussed at great length in recent weeks and this week's show as well, Shaw Lane are the ones currently with loads of games in hand. There's always one team in the playoffs who always have loads of games in hand, and every season we always ask the same question: would you rather have the games in hand or the points in the board? As James rightly alluded to earlier, you're looking at that game on the 13th of February where Altrincham are taking on Shaw Lane. Shaw Lane have got to cram in some of those games in hand over the next month or so before that game. But that is a pivotal game in the calendar. But Shaw Lane have to keep winning to make that game a pivotal game. And this weekend, Shaw Lane will be hosting Whitby Town.
It's interesting because the last time I was on, which was a few months ago, Shaw Lane obviously had games in hand because of the FA Cup. Now they've got games in hand because of a few postponements included in that as well. So, four games in hand on Altrincham. And if they win all four of those games in hand, they actually go ahead of Altrincham. So it really is the case. The carrot is there for Shaw Lane. I think, the interesting thing for Shaw Lane is obviously losing two very good players to Boston United last week. What impact will that have? Because obviously since those players departed, they haven't had a game. So, I'm sure Paul Quinn will be on the lookout. Maybe he's confident enough with the squad they've got that they can replace him from within. But it's, again, it's kind of like a make or break month for Shaw Lane, because if they win all their games up to that Altrincham one, they'll be ahead of them. If, they pick up a few points, lose a few, all of a sudden you're saying really they're fighting for a playoff place rather than top.
But Grantham Town, they're currently the team in second position. And this weekend, they've got a tough game, haven't they? Hosting Farsley Celtic. And Farsley Celtic, it feels like, after that narrow defeat to Altrincham, Ashton United having the games in hand, with Shaw Lane having the games in hand, Farsley Celtic need to start putting the pressure on.
Yeah, they really do. And I think, the big thing for Farsley is there was that start of the season where they were picking the results up and they were seen a bit more of as a dark horse for getting in the playoffs, or it maybe even going up automatically. All of a sudden then all the attention was on them when they went on that good run, and you've got to say they've had a really good few results, beating Whitby, beating Shaw Lane, getting a point away at Rushall's, no easy feat, pushing Altrincham all the way. So I mean, this to me is the game of the weekend, because you look at the form that Farsley are in currently. They've had that blip. To me, they've got away from that blip they were on, where they went, quite a few games without a victory in all competitions. They've now got rid of that, and if they can put in as good a performance as they did against Altrincham, Grantham really are going to have to be at the best. I really do think a win at Grantham pushes them right into that contention for the playoffs.
But for Grantham, if results go their way this weekend, with Warrington and Workington not in action, they could see themselves 4 points clear in second position. So it's an important game for Grantham as well. It's quite remarkable season they're having too. But just to add about Ashton United, they're currently in sixth position. You mentioned Grantham v Farsley being one of those games this weekend. This one's pretty big as well. Witton Albion against Ashton United. A crucial game for Witton Albion, and a crucial one for Ashton United, because they've been sixth now for ages, but they've always had these games in hand. And this weekend, they could put themselves well and truly in the playoffs. For Witton Albion, they could really close the gap on the playoffs. So a really important game, this one.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, isn't it? We're getting to that point now where all these games, there's always something on the line. And, you look at Witton, they've played a few games more than Ashton. I think it's four games more, actually. And there's a points gap of five. And, for Ashton, if they win this one, they really are pulling away from your teams like Witton. If, Farsley don't pick up the result, they're pulling away from Farsley. Hence, it's that whole thing of now they can start to build a bit of a gap and really solidify their position. And a good run with these games in hand, all of a sudden they're right in there, right in contention for going up. And it's just all about finding that run. Whether the legs can, go when you're playing Saturday, Tuesday will remain to be seen. But, they've got a good enough squad to do it. And this is another, like you were saying, another crucial game this weekend.
And just to say, if results do go Ashton's way, they could find themselves on Saturday at 5 o'clock in third position, having played the same games as the likes of Warrington and Workington and Grantham. So, and still having two games in hand on Grantham. So a very important weekend for Ashton United, certainly. Hensford Town, they put themselves well and truly in the playoff picture. Rob Smith there, since coming in, has really added a bit of momentum to Hensford Town this season. Hensford Town are hosting Colville this weekend at Keys Park. And on paper, you've got to suggest Hensford are going into this one as favourites, but Colville are one of those gang of four that, like Michalova proved, very, very unpredictable this season.
First of all, with Hensford, they're on an incredible run. You know, they've won, I think it's five in a row now, and really one of those teams that just have started that run at the right time. You know, I think it's five in a row in all competitions, but again, you know, five wins in all competitions is nothing to be sniffed at. It's a good run, and I think, you know, you look at what Rob Smith's doing in terms of he's building quite a solid back line. You know, they're not conceding too many goals during this run as well. But, you know, they got a really good win against Nantwich Town last time out. And it's that whole thing of momentum. But again, they're facing another team who you really do struggle to predict what Colville will do, because they're in that position with, you know, kind of lower, I'd say more lower than upper mid-table. But if they could go on a decent little run, all of a sudden they're looking, you know, can they get near them playoff places? If they go on a bad run, they're looking above the shoulder. You know, they're looking around thinking, right, we're near the relegation zone. So it really is one of those games that, you know, it's going to be really close to call. I do think Hensford will do it, though.
Now, let's talk about the bottom end of the table. And obviously, it was not the best of weekends for Sutton Coldfield Town. Stalybridge Celtic didn't play at the weekend, so they've added an extra game in hand to their already epic number of games in hand over Sutton Coldfield Town. Sutton Coldfield Town found themselves bottom by 3 points currently. Sutton Coldfield this weekend hosts Rushall Olympic. You'll actually remember just a couple of months ago, I think when you were last on probably, Tom, we're down towards the bottom end of the table. Liam McDonald's come in and added a bit of stability to Rushall. This is a big game, this one, for Sutton Coldfield. Also knowing that Stalybridge Celtic have got to go to Buxton also on Saturday, and Stalybridge's away form is, well, not very good. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're being a bit kind saying it like that. I mean, I think for Sutton Coldfield, it's getting all ready to make or break, just because of the fact that, you know, they've played six games more than Stalybridge, they've played a game more than Halesowen, and they've played two games more than Marine, two more than Rushall, you know, five more than Nantwich, four more than Stafford. I mean, it really is a case of they've got to be picking up the wins, well, now, because it's going to get to that point where if they don't play for a week or two, you know, with the other teams playing, there's going to be a real gap between them. So, you know, results are a must. I think with Stalybridge, I came on this at the start of the season. I looked at their squad, Steve Burr, and I was predicting they'd be near the playoffs.
Everyone
I
was
predicting they'd be right up there. You know, it's absolutely shocked me how, you know, poorly they've done so far. But they got a good win against Lancaster last time out. They then had how many games postponed. It's, you know, one of them, it's tough to build momentum just after you get that win. You know, they'd have really wanted that game against Witton Albion to have gone ahead. Just, you know, that chance, back-to-back wins, you know, start to build it. And it now really is a case of Stalybridge that with that squad they've got and the numbers they've got, to me, having so many games in a row shouldn't be too difficult a task in terms of, you know, they're not having to completely change their starting 11. They're not having to completely change the squad for them. But they're a team that have really underachieved so far, and they need to go on a decent run.
There's just a couple more games that we need to mention. There's two mid-table ding-dongs with Michalova Sports hosting Matlock Town and Lancaster City hosting Barwell. Lancaster City, I think, borderline playoff contenders at the moment, but they do need to get some wins on the board, definitely. Hoping to follow on that great win against Whitby Town. And then there's Halesowen Town against Nantwich Town as well. And I think Halesowen are pretty much where I think John Hill would like them to be. They're hovering above the relegation battle, and that'll do. That'll do nicely, I think, given the circumstances at Halesowen at the moment with all the low-knee players and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the situation they're in, being there, you know, it's just all about grinding the results out, picking the points up. And, you know, I think if you said end of season, it's 22nd, you're staying up, I think, look, yeah, take it. You know, I think it really is that simple for them, because it's that whole thing of they'll have to be looking over the shoulder with Stalybridge because they've played five games more than them. So, you know, it's important for them, although they're 4 points clear right now, it's still important for them to pick up them points just to get a bit of a cushion, to put a bit more pressure on Stalybridge for when they've got them games in hand.
And I think that's everything. Thomas Fina, a big thank you for joining us. Just a quick plug before you go again. How can people keep in touch with all the glorious work that you're doing for non-league football?
If you want to be bored senseless, you can go on my Twitter. It's at Thomas Fina.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big, 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 big good luck to Stourbridge, Workington, Marine and Warrington Town in the FA Trophy second round this weekend. Safe journey down there if you're travelling to those aways, and a safe journey back. And here's hoping that you all make it through to the third round of the FA Trophy. A big thank you to all four managers for joining us on this week's show. Also a big thank you to the chairman at Market Drayton Town and Cone FC for coming on. Plus as well, Dave McCann, assistant manager at Lancaster City. And a big thank you to the media team at Barwell for allowing us access to that interview with Jimmy Ginnelly from Saturday as well. Also, big thank you to James Hayes, and a big thank you to non-league journalist and all-round legend Thomas Fahini for joining us too on this week's show. Oh, and also a big thank you to you, dear listener, for tuning in. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest news and goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the league website. That's at evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick NPL Show. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.